I want to share a few thoughts with you concerning Elijah's camp. Listening to Jessica pray, she just kept saying, "Thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father." And I know that Thanksgiving and all that, and so we're supposed to preach a Thanksgiving thing, so to speak. But I just, when you think about God, when you think about who He is, you cannot think about Him without thinking about saying thanks. You can't. Matter of fact, the very reason that we even think about God is reason to thank Him. Because if He did not come and get you, you would not be thinking about it.
I thought we were on Tuesday night, see, so I guess I'm going to use this. I can't be as free, you know, when I got this, but that's okay. So let me read a few portions of Scripture, and then I want to come down to this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul says this, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in their love, for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Hallelujah. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And here is our text. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, or don't ever stop praying. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to concentrate on those three verses, 16, 17, and 18, because you know when Paul wrote this, he wasn't using commas and semicolons and saying, rejoice always, period. It wasn't verse 16. Then he said verse 17 is pray without ceasing. And then he didn't say that. No, he simply said rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for all of this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice always. Why are we to rejoice always? Well, Paul says it's the will of God. It's the will of God. But now, what we have to recognize is that, as I said about the eternal things, obviously Paul is not talking about us rejoicing. I just got my car fixed yesterday, but I'm not rejoicing in that. Now, I'm thankful, don't get me wrong. I'm glad about it, but I'm not rejoicing in it. Nowhere in the scripture will you in the New Testament, where you see Paul telling people to rejoice in natural things. Nothing wrong to be happy about something. You understand what I'm saying? But when it comes to rejoicing, we see in the scripture, particularly in the New Testament, that it comes from an eternal revelation of who God is. Okay? So watch this. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 and 9, Jesus has risen from the dead. The two angels have appeared to the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they say, Jesus, you're looking for Christ. He's not here. Go tell his disciples that he's going to meet them in Galilee. So the women jump up, verse 8, and it says, so they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And so they're running to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive from the dead. They're running, going to do the will of God, right? And it says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Now, how would you like it if you were going to do something, and on the way, by the way, they were in the will of God, they were received instruction by the angel, go tell the disciples, and while they're running to tell the disciples with great joy, Jesus meets them, and he says this, rejoice! And they looking at him like, oh, Lord, yeah. And they went, the Bible says, and they grabbed him by the feet and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. Can you imagine the rejoicing that these ladies were having when he stood before them and said, rejoice! Now rejoicing can really take place because they are looking at one who was alive from the dead and who was alive forevermore. What does the scripture tell us? It tells us that when we're in the will of God, in the will of God is where you meet Jesus. In the will of God, they were running in the will of God to do what God told them to do through the angels, and they had a revelation of who Jesus was. They met him in the process, and he told them, rejoice. Rejoice in what? Rejoice in the fact that I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus sent the disciples out to preach the word, cast out demons, heal the lepers, raise the dead. They come back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, do not rejoice in this. Hold on, saints. Why can't I rejoice in this? Jesus said, well, this is temporal. He said, don't rejoice in that the demons are subject to you. But rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. That's why you rejoice. Listen, and that's why you can keep rejoicing. Because my name, I may not be a resident of Hollywood. I may not be a resident of Martha's Vineyard. I may not be a resident in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But my name is written down in glory. And Jesus said, listen, Jesus said this, that's why you rejoice. That's why you rejoice. Some people think they rejoice when their team wins. They said until it went on Friday. No, they lost. Did Centerville win on Friday? No, they lost. Okay. So, listen. But see, that's not why you rejoice. Listen. He didn't tell us to rejoice in temporal things. Huh? See, why? Because temporal things come to an end. But Paul said, rejoice always. He said, rejoice always. Well, if I'm going to rejoice always, then my rejoicing must be contingent or based upon something that never changes. Huh? So Jesus said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written down in heaven. Yes. I don't know if it ever hits you while you're out minding your own business and it hits you driving down the road that you are a son or a daughter of God, and it hits your heart and you're about ready to pull over and have a fit because Jesus all up in the truck messing you up because you said that I can't contain this, Lord, and you just get all messed up. But you're rejoicing. You're rejoicing in what he has made you, what he has called you. Romans chapter 5, where Paul's telling the Christians, in verse 8, he says that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And he goes on and he says, much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved through his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know if you ever rejoice in this, but I mean, has it ever hit you that you are reconciled to God? Do you know what it means not to be reconciled? That means you are at odds with one another. That means you are enemies. He just said when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. We were saved from wrath through the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved through his life. And so we rejoice in that. How so? Every time you hear from God, every time the grace of God touches your life with a thought or an unction or an impulse. Even when I was this past week, I was making preparations to fix certain things, and I knew I was going through my day, and I'm at work and working and so forth, and I'm trying to get to a place where I can get time to repair my wife's vehicle. And the Holy Spirit don't have to do this, but the Holy Spirit just said, you will not fix it today. It's not on my agenda. Let it go. Just let it go. Not going to happen today, son. But you know how hard-headed we can be. Well, but I think I can work hard enough that I can get some time. I can get the time. And as the day kept going on, more stuff kept being added to my schedule. And the latter part of the day, I said, you know what, Lord? I'm not going to get to that. I'm not going to get to it today. You see. But we rejoice in God. We rejoice in him because he never changes. So when Paul said rejoice always, he wasn't telling us to rejoice because we won the lottery. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Finally, my brethren, listen to what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And so again, he's saying, rejoicing is not to take place. Well, the reason why we don't rejoice in a team is because, come on, beloved, give that team long enough and they're going to lose. And you're going to be sucking swamp water. You're going to be down. You're going to be depressed and on and on and on. We don't rejoice in anything but in the Lord. Because anything and everything changes. Our health changes. Come on. The weather changes. Everything changes. Your tax rate changes. You can rejoice that you got a low one now. But before you know it, whoop. So we don't rejoice in that. Paul's not done. Philippians 3 and 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now that would be a temptation for some people because they would look at what they're able to do in the Spirit or legalistically. Yes, I pray. An hour a day. How about you? Where you at? Huh? Well, you don't pray? Well, you know. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I got it down, you see. But Paul says we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we don't take any confidence in what this flesh is able to produce. Because before too long, come on, I was cleaning carpet this week in a woman's house I tell you, I don't know about you, but that David Petraeus thing, that broke me down. I was so hurt for this man and his wife and his family. It just so hurt me. And this woman said, this week she said, we have no more heroes. She said, we don't have heroes like we used to have. Well, the truth be told, we didn't have any heroes then either. Because if you lean on the arm of flesh, Jeremiah says that the arm of flesh, come on, it's going to fail you. You can't lean on the arm of flesh. We can't rejoice in that. Paul goes on, and he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's a song that we would sing. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Well, beloved, it's something that we must give ourselves to. Why? Because Paul says, listen, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus to rejoice always in the Lord. My prayer for us is that we grasp more of what God has accomplished for us through Christ so that our rejoicing might continue to abound to the glory of God. Secondly, Paul says that we ought to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And let us, Lord Jesus, my goodness, why pray at all times? Why should we pray at all times? First, according to the text, it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Secondly, if you've been living in Jesus for any amount of time, you have come to the understanding, hopefully, that you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere without him, which means you're going to have to pray. You know what prayer says? I can't do this by myself. I can't do this, right? And so I said on Tuesday night, prayer reveals our dependence upon God. And the converse is true. Our lack of prayer reveals our dependence on ourselves. Come on, right? You feel like you can make it all by yourself? Go ahead. I was about to say, let's try it, but I've not been there, done that. That's not a good thing. You remember in the book of Joshua, God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And if he was wise enough and mighty enough and strong enough and gracious enough to deliver you from Egypt and all of the bondage and so forth, you think after you get outside of Egypt and you're going into the promised land, that you're not going to make a move without seeking God. But we're talking about us, beloved. Come on. We're talking about Joshua. And in the Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites came, and they said, we've come from a long way. Please, let us live amongst you. And Joshua looked at their wineskins, that they were old, the bread was moldy, old clothes, and they said, okay, we'll make a covenant with you. We won't kill you. And the scripture, which is, you've read it before, such a sad word. It says, then the men of Israel, Joshua 9:14, took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. And they allowed their enemy into their camp because they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. That's why Jesus said in John 15, love this passage of scripture, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And everyone who abides in me bears much fruit. He said, for without me, you can do nothing. Pray without ceasing. Did he mean quit your job and join a monastery and sit in the room and pray out there? Of course not. But what he did mean was a position of the heart, an attitude where you are always turned toward him, where your heart is always crying out and your heart is seeking him. Why? Because you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. This is my own beloved. You know, we're going to get to Philippians 4, which says, be anxious for nothing and pray about everything. But beloved, Paul didn't qualify that scripture. He didn't say, pray about the spiritual things. He didn't say, pray about the big things. So while I'm bent over in this van trying to fix this van and my back is hurting and this thing is all out of line, I said, Jesus, God, I don't know what to do. My wife up there praying for me and fasting, help this man, Lord. He's going to kill himself down there. But guess what? Wisdom came. And the thing worked its way in, and it got set straight. He said, pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. I don't need to go into, this isn't a how-to message. You have the Spirit of God in you. Come on. Trying to teach prayers, trying to teach a baby to cry for mama. You don't have to teach a baby to cry. That baby knows how to call. Help, mama. Right? We want to have umpteen million conferences on prayer. Good heavens, his Spirit was in you. His Spirit even cries out within us to him. And so we pray, we give ourselves to prayer. We need Jesus every way, all day, every way. When one understands that without him you are powerless, then one is always seeking him. Prayer is like breathing. Prayer is like breathing. Prayer is a grace afforded us through the blood of Jesus. Prayer is communing with the Father through the Holy Spirit. And we can pray at all times, living in the presence of God. There is closet prayer, but then there's communal prayer. Closet prayer is what you do in the closet. Communal is when you get up and leave the closet, and you're gonna walk with Him all day long. It's interesting that if you are praying at all times, sin is not going to be able to overrun you, not if you're praying at all times. Come on, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If Jesus said pray so that you won't enter into temptation, and temptation is a continual thing, is temptation continual? And you walk out of these doors. Come on. You turn on your television. You can't go anywhere in this life where temptation isn't there. Well, if that's the case, Jesus said, pray lest you enter temptation. Then I guess we need to pray at all times. We pray continually. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. He didn't qualify that. That's a blanket statement. Be anxious for nothing. Could it be, beloved? Could it be? I've been looking at my life. Could it be that we don't pray enough about everything? Could it be? Could it be that we're so used to fixing things that when a problem comes up, we automatically go to fix it and we haven't? Just pray. Father, help me. Give me wisdom. That says something about that tuition. I don't know what to do with myself. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. For a mother to have her... for all of her children provided for. Amen. Moses said last week he needed the van. He didn't have what was necessary. He said, I give it to the Lord. I give it to the Lord. I just gotta trust the Lord with it. Guess what the Lord does when you give Him things? He said, cast your care. Why? Because I care for you. So we cast our care. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray about everything. Well, it's so small, I don't know if God would be. God already knows this on your heart. He knew it before the words came out of your mouth. He knows it all together. Leave nothing uncovered in prayer or by prayer. Leave nothing uncovered in prayer or by prayer. Pray about it all. It was so Friday. I had worked Wednesday night, and I worked all day Wednesday night and up until 1:30 in the morning, and I'm tired. And so Thursday morning, I got up and went to work, and I worked all day long, and I'm tired. Friday morning, I got up and went to my first job, and I'm tired. Okay, you getting the picture? I'm tired. And I walked in, on my way into the first job, I said, Father, I didn't pray it out loud. I just prayed it, you know, communal prayer. I said, Lord, I've prayed at this job. It's just one room. You know, beloved, it's Thanksgiving. People preparing, people having the whole house clean, all this. And I go in, and because it's a townhouse, all these steps, I had to take all this equipment up into the house and then walk up more steps and all this. And so I walk in, and he says, well, I want this clean right here. I said, is it this room? He said, yeah, just this room right here.
Wait, what? It wasn't quite like that. It was kind of like.
Because I'm tired. I said, thank you, Father. Then I went to my next job, and I'm just praying all day. I said, Lord, how many of you know the Lord hears you? He does, really. Because this man said on the second, I said, Lord, I'm tired. And I go to the second job. The lady says, it's just this room right here, and if you could do a little bit over here. I said, that's fine. And I do that. And then I go to my last job, and it's just this little room. And I get back to my office, and I sit down, and I say, He knows. He knows. Pray about everything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, and do not forget, There is a reason why Thanksgiving is coupled with prayer. And the reason is that when you come to God in prayer, you can already go ahead and start giving him thanks because you're putting your trust in him concerning what you brought to him in prayer. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder. And so when we come to God and give to him that which we have in prayer, and we can already begin to thank him because he says, I'm going to address it. I already have the answer. See, we must remember this about God. Because God says to me, son, before you even come to me, I already have the answer. It's in me. So when you come to me, your journey is over. Your journey, this is where it starts, and this is where it stops. So listen, when you go to God in prayer, you don't have to jump up out of prayer and then go and say, okay, I got to go manipulate this and change this. No, you don't? No. Now, not unless he tells you to do that. The answer is in him. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Okay, that's Philippians 4:6. Colossians 4:2, telling us the same thing, confirming 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 16 through 18. Three times the Holy Spirit saying the same thing. Pray, and when you pray, give thanks. Ah, there's a company that owes me and my wife thousands of dollars. It's an insurance company. They owe us thousands of dollars. And because we were paying premiums, they weren't covering any claims for years. So finally we stopped. We've been praying about it. You know how many of you know that at times you can get prayer, you can get hot in prayer. You can get angry. Now I'm going to say you get angry in the spirit, but how many of you know you get angry in the flesh? You know? And so you go for that whole cycle. And finally me and my wife, you know, we're at the point, Father, you know, you can either get bent, toe up in the flesh if you want to, but get your blood pressure all up. But that's not going to change anything. What we do, we just simply pray. Father, I thank you that you already have it taken care of. Why? Because he does. And at the right time, those people are going to release all that money. Amen. You'll see it when I walk through the door. You'll know. But they need to do right. Amen. And we're holding them to it. Okay, so we give God thanks in prayer because we know that his best is determined for us through prayer. His best is determined for us through prayer. I mean, Richard and his wife are praying. Now, she had to go to the hospital. But through that, God ministered to them to get them in a place on their knees before him. You see, you have to be careful, you know, when things start happening in your life, you can't get upset and mad with God. What's going on? Well, hold on. One thing we know, you don't know what's going on. That's one thing I know. And that's why the scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and do these trials, you see. Okay, so we can therefore trust him with the outcome. Because we know that the best is determined for us through prayer, we can trust God with the outcome. Amen. So he said, rejoice always, continue or to pray without ceasing. And then he said, to give thanks in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Why give thanks in every situation? Well, according to our text, it's the will of God for you. It's the will of God for you. You mean in every situation God wants me to rejoice? Yes. In every situation God wants me to pray? Oh, yes. And in every situation God wants me to give thanks? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He wants me to give thanks. But it's the will of God. And you know that we are best in the will of God. We want to be in the will of God. Remember the first point. You'll meet Jesus in the will of God. Come on. I don't care if you're suffering, but you'll meet, Paul did, you'll meet Christ in the midst of your suffering if you're in the will of God. But we don't want to suffer for something that we did, had no business doing, right? So we want to give thanks. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Didn't say give thanks to him because he delivered us from Israel, because he stopped the Red Sea and all. It says give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We ought to thank God simply because of his character, because of his nature. We could sit out and thank God all day long just because of who he is. By the way, I'll let you know that that's what the seraphim do in heaven. The seraphim have never been redeemed. The blood of Jesus didn't redeem them. They were but they understand this. They were created for this purpose, to behold the glory of God. They were created to give thanks to God. Why? Because there's nobody like him. He's the creator of all things. He created them. And so, for that purpose, they were created to give and to bring glory to God. So, giving thanks begins with who God is. Giving thanks begins with who God is. That's why you can wake up on a Sunday morning and the other morning, God ain't done anything, but you just think about it. And you get all tore up in your spirit. My God, you have a glory fit or whatever. I don't know what you do. But sometimes I tear my office up, be up in there thinking about who he is. Get all messed up. Pray nobody come through that door right now because it's messed up in here. Let me tell you. Amen. Okay, so it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 30 and verse 4 reads, "Sing praise to the Lord, you his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Just at the remembrance of his name. Start thanking him. Amen. Thanks is not something that varies from day to day, depending on what's going on. See? Now, we are right to give thanks to God, and I was going to read you, you know, President Washington's Proclamation of Thanksgiving, President Lincoln's Proclamation of Thanksgiving, and so forth, for all the signal blessings and so forth, that, you know, how the thing goes. And we are right to give God thanks for what he's done, but that's not where we start. I'm just saying that, you know, we start with who he is. See, because our thanks should not be based upon what happens from day to day. Our thanks should be consistent with the sun rising and setting. Amen. That's every day, right? So it says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, let the name of the Lord is to be praised. Okay? So just as faithful as the sun is rising and setting, so faithful can our thanksgiving be of God, because he is that faithful. Amen. Romans 8:28, you know what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For this reason, we can give thanks to God for everything. Where it says, in all things, give thanks. Why? Well, all things God uses for your good. For my good. Hallelujah! My God! I mean, it's going to hit you in a second. Maybe it'll hit you in a week. Maybe it'll hit you in a month or two. I don't know how, but when it hits you, my God, listen, because you'll understand, there ain't nothing that can happen to me. There is nothing that can happen to me that God cannot use to better me, that God cannot use to bring glory to himself in my life. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, see, that just took care of everything. You see, that just took care of everything. So I don't fret what's coming in the future. I don't fret what's down the road. Why? Because God is going to use all things together for the good of those who love him. Amen? So I like what Adam Clark's commentary said, for this reason that all things work together for the good of them that love God, therefore every occurrence may be a subject of gratitude and thankfulness. While you live to God, prosperity and adversity will be equally helpful to you. Prosperity and adversity will be equally helpful to you. What that means is, devil, you can't stop what God's doing here. You see, Job didn't know that. Job didn't know that all that he was going through was going to bring him a double portion. He had no clue. See? But we have his story, and we can gain insight. So, Ephesians 5, verse 20 reads, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul even found space or place to give God thanks when he was in jail in Philippi. He said, some brethren are preaching the gospel out of pretense, supposing to add, you know, to my chains. He said, others are preaching having been emboldened by my arrest. He said, but whether in pretense or in truth, he said, the gospel is being preached and I am therefore blessed. He said, I glory in the preaching of the gospel, even though it was being done in pretense. Even though some people were doing it to add affliction to his chains. Paul said, no, I thank God that the word of God is being preached. My Lord. He was giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then our last scripture, which I just alluded to, Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, it says this. You know, that's the scene where John, you heard a voice saying, come up hither. And he goes up. And he sees this throne, and one sat on the throne, and he describes him. He talks about the seraphim and so forth, how they're all worshiping him, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Verse 9 reads, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks, whenever the living creatures, now you have to remember now, the living creatures are not affected by redemption. They have not fallen. But yet they're giving thanks to God. Why would someone give thanks? You say thanks to someone when someone's done something for you. Right? That's why you give thanks. But they're giving thanks to God. Well, I believe it's found, if we keep reading, why they give thanks so profusely. Let me keep reading. It says, they give thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Here it is. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. What the four living creatures are saying is this, and I join in them. You created us. I'm not talking about redeemed man. You created us, the four living creatures, so that we could behold you. Let me tell you something. Maybe this will hit you one day. But God created you so that you could appreciate him. Listen now. Listen. He created you so that you could view his majesty and his splendor and his greatness, his glorious beauty. And listen, there's not a one of us, not a one of us who would see him and say, you know, this really wasn't worth being created for. He created me so that I could behold who he is. He saved me. He opened up my eyes so that I could know him. And every day I thank him. Every time I say Father, I thank him because you let me know you as Father. You created me so that I could know you. And for that, I am profoundly grateful. And so the four living creatures say, for you created all things, and by your will they exist, were created. We were created for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. So, and by his good pleasure. Listen. He is going to take, and already has through Christ, pleasure in us. Therefore, we will find our pleasure in us. Whoa! Hallelujah! Beside myself, I tell you. Listen, listen. There's some of us, we run around trying to get pleasure out this life. Come on. I don't know what you do. Maybe you go get your feet manicured or whatever. What do? You eat certain food. Come on, we all do something that gives us pleasure. But I'm here to tell you, you have not been there yet. I don't care what it is. You have not been. We were created for His good pleasure, and He's going to cause us to find our pleasure in Him. Beloved, that's where we're going. And there will be nothing like that. Stand to your feet. Our Lord, we bless you. We magnify you, Lord. And we thank you, O God, for bringing us to yourself. We thank you for saving us and giving us the knowledge through the gospel of who Jesus is. We thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you for the comfort of the precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you for the revelation of God. And we pray, O God, I pray, O Lord, that the revelation of God will continue to expand in our heart, in our mind, O God. Lord, that we would know you more and more and more, having been partakers of your divine nature. My God, that we would be, Lord, transformed into your image, O God. O Lord, proving what that good will of God is. And so we pray, Lord, that this word, Father, that what you're doing, Lord, will continue to change us, mold us, and make us. We would live for your glory, and for your glory alone we pray. Bless your people, O God, with your grace and strength as we go this day. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you real good.